Whether in Arhita's birth, life after life, as long as he remains a devotee. Actually, eternal liberty means returning home back to Godhead. A devotee is never concerned about anything material. Although Nadi Maharaj wanted a son like Vishnu, wanting a son like God is also a form of sense gratification. A pure devotee wants only to engage in the Lord's loving service. So you can see how rare pure devotional service is and how fortunate we are to have connected with a pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada, who is completely free from any desire, even unconsciously. There's one nice verse like that that describes that even in dreams, sometimes we dream, we don't really have control over what we're dreaming. Dreams just come. But even in a dream, the pure devotee won't have any desire for sense gratification. It's so elevated, so purified by the mercy of the Lord. Mm-hmm. So, it's very rare. Nectar Goswami says such a standard is very rare in the material world. We don't find very, very rarely. But there are examples, Narada Muni, Haridas Thakur, Palavra Maharaj, and of course, Srila Prabhupada. But here, Nadi, you see, King Nadi, he had some desire, just like Agnitra had some desire, which wasn't strictly in accordance with the desire of the Lord. So, of course, because they're approaching the Lord, they're benefited. Just like Juna Maharaj also had some desire, but because he came to the Lord with that desire, therefore he was able to see that this is a foolish desire. So even the priests are seeing here that they're working on behalf of King Nadi, but they're embarrassed, Prabhupada says, that they're asking for something. Something for their clients, you can say. So, this is the standard pure devotional service that Prabhupada is giving us. Nyavilasita sinyan, nyavilasita sinyan, jnana karma anavita, anukarina krishnana, siranam bhakti uttana. This verse is quoted very much by Srila Prabhupada. I think more than any other verse they went through all Srila Prabhupada's books. This is the verse he quotes more than anything else from Rupa Goswami and Yabhilasita. Sunya. Sunya. Make it zero. Any material desires, either for karma or knowledge or anything, should become zero. This is the mood of the pure devotee. So we can't imitate that mood, but we, by following in the footsteps, we can also gradually attain that point of become totally free from any material desires. So the direct way to do that is to take this sadhana bhakti process. If we take sadhana bhakti very diligently, then the material desires will be finished. It's like India. Right?
Yeah.
Maybe it's finished now. Well, I'll just speak for a few minutes in the dark and everything. In the other room, the light will be there from the windows. So, we can be free then from these materials. If we strictly follow, this was something that Prabhupada emphasized in the last days. You know, there were some of his disciples wanted to become guru. They were approaching Prabhupada. The Prabhupada could see that their motive wasn't so pure. So he said, they want to become guru, but first they should be qualified. And then Prabhupada said, how to qualify? Little things, strictly follow. So we can all become qualified, but if we strictly follow.
Mm-hmm.
So what is stopping us from strictly following? That means we have to do it out of duty, but doing it out of duty, it can become troublesome. It's like a child learning how to read, or like Krishna learning English. So it's a little troublesome. And you want to forget about it. You want to not do it. You want to play. The boy will say, I don't want to study. I want to go play. I want to play with my friends. I don't have to. But if he takes it out of duty, then he'll become conversant. It's called shreyas and preyas. There are two. One is the immediate gratification, and one is the long-term benefit. So because we're not, the child is easy for them to learn because they're humble. They look around and they see, I'm very small. Look, all these people know more than me, they're more powerful than me, they have more influence than me in so many ways. So the child is naturally humble. So when the parents and others say, oh no, you have to go to school, you have to study, then the child will say, okay, maybe I should, because they, you know, they're my friends and they're telling me I should do it. They're my well-wishers. So the child replies like that to learn. But once we grow up, then we think, well, why should I take the trouble to learn something? I already know enough. I can make money. I can enjoy life. I can have sex life and speculate about things and engage in politics of some kind. And in this way, I can pass my time. Why do I have to study? What's the benefit? So generally, in old age, it's harder to learn. This is one of the reasons, because the mentality has changed. So when we come to devotional service, then, we have to have that kind of childlike innocence to go on taking the duty year after year and not become discouraged or disheartened or tired of attempting to serve the Lord. We may not be getting the full reciprocation. In other words, because of our motive or because of our lack of purity, we may not be experiencing the presence of the Lord at every moment. But if we just, with a determination, resolve that we're going to go on practicing means rising early in the morning. It's like this devotee is coming, Rama Lakshan, what is it?
Yes.
He's confessing that when I'm living at home, my family is not very much involved in Krishna consciousness. No, his children, they're not taking sadhana bhakti, they're not getting it. So then he says, then it's easy to get into the wrong atmosphere, sleeping too much, eating too much, staying at night, watching television. It's so easy. This is a tendency here. But then he finds that by doing that, then I'm suffering, even on the bodily platform. My health is not as good. It's a fact. If you sleep more than required, your health won't be good. You eat more than required. If you, you know, therefore, by reason, one should not eat too much, eat too little, sleep too much, sleep too little, be moderate in his recreation. you're going, watching the movies, and then you become. I have experience, you know, watching television, you get a headache. It makes you sick if you watch it so too much. So he was finding that he's becoming sick because of not taking this sadhana bhakti nicely. So we can, you know, be inspired by that kind of negative side. But why should I give up following nicely the Prabhupada gave us? Well, we should. And then, not only will our health be good, but our mind will be good. Mental health, that's the next stage. Bodily health, mental health. If we take this process nicely, then our mind will be pacified. The tendency is to become agitated. And no one can be peaceful in this world. Why is that? Because we don't know what is the peace formula. And therefore, we are following the mind. The mind is always agitated. It's like Radhikashipu. He accomplished everything materially. Everything that could be thought about materially, he accomplished. But he still wasn't peaceful. To become peaceful, it requires that we get mercy, something from above. And that will only come when we're free from sin. How can we be peaceful when we're separated from God? We're separated from God because of sin. Because we're not cooperating with Him. We're not doing the will of the Lord. That means we're separated from Him. We're acting sinfully. We're acting whimsically. We're acting against the interest of the Lord. And so, naturally, we'll be agitated. Nobody can be peaceful. Therefore, we make that claim, strong claim. Nobody can be peaceful in this material world unless they get in harmony with the will of God. For some time, they may imagine a good peace for everything, but then the time element is coming to take that away, to take away their peaceful situation. Suddenly, there'll be upheaval. The lights will go out, and they'll be agitated. Oh, I was watching television. Now I can't watch it. What is this? They become disturbed. For a small thing like this, or there'll be earthquake, big thing, that'll also disturb them. It can never be peaceful continuously in this world. Because Krishna has made it in such a way, yukalaya vishashvatam, that there has to be upheaval. And this is good, this is proper. It'll bring us to the point of not to be attached to this place. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says, compared to the schoolroom. Here we have the schoolroom, light is coming through on the floor. We don't go there and spend our time. When we finish up our business there, we come out. So especially in India, the outhouses there, you go to some place in the field, you don't want to linger there. The flies there, they may come. But you finish your business and go away. So material world, the whole material world is like that. Simply chewing the chew, there's nothing substantial here to satisfy us. But everybody here is thinking that there is. Everybody we met on the street yesterday, they're all an illusion about the real purpose of life. Therefore, we have to be very careful not to become victimized by that association, not to become like them, and think that we can be happy by material arrangement, by adjusting things, we'll be peaceful. It won't be possible. We may get a very ideal life and good money coming in every day, but still, there'll be upheaval, even for the devotee. Don't think, oh, I'm a devotee, I can live in L.A., everything will be peaceful. No. It can never be, because this is a testing ground. Krishna wants to see if you're really a devotee. It's like Bali Maharaj, or like the Pandavas. They have to undergo so much tribulation. So what to speak of these advanced devotees? What is our position? We're very neophytes. We can expect there will always be some trouble coming. And therefore, we have to take the austerity. The austerity means that we practice sadhana bhakti, strictly. That's an austerity, no doubt. We have to get up early, we have to chant Hare Krishna, we have to come to this Bhagavatam play. These are the things that Prabhupada gave us. And we should take it. Nitya Bhagavata Seva. Every day we should practice this process, especially in the morning. That was one of the complaints that the Prabhupada Maharaj had about the tour. And the Dhanaraj is doing such big preaching, but they have no morning program. I also felt that when I was with them. You know, the morning, because they're up so late, 1 o'clock, doing, you know, chanting, and so many people are dancing. And so the morning time is very difficult. There's nobody, no Bhagavatam class. Nobody gets up night early and chants their rounds, Rangalarti. So you can say, well, he's agreed to accept that condition for preaching. And we can allow that. But we should be very careful. Unless we're doing that kind of big preaching, then we should take the morning program as our main thing to qualify ourselves for the rest of the day, to chant our rounds nicely. And that's why even last night I didn't want to stay too late. Because I know in the morning then we'll be tired, we won't be able to chant our rounds, we won't be able to get up. I mean, it may be an emergency. Sometimes we have program at night, something we have to. But general rule should be that we're ready to take rest by 9 o'clock. Then we can get up at 3 or 4 or later and not be overly tired. Otherwise, we're falling asleep in class. Just like that. What do you? Are you awake now?
Oh, yes.
Okay. It's easy to sleep, no doubt. When we don't have enough sleep, then we'll be falling asleep. Okay, any questions?
But can they make shifts? For example, 3 hours one devotee singing, another day we rest from 7 to 10, then from 10.
Not so good. I mean, we should be regular.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever we do, we should do every day. This is what it means to be regular. We should pass through at the same time. We should eat at the same time. We should. Then our body becomes like a strong machine. It becomes healthy in that way. or being regular. This is one of the problems of traveling. Charakapani says, if you want to be traveling, someone who travels a lot, they become older, quicker. It's a fact. Because you lose your regularity, different time zone, different, you know, on a plane, you lose your bodily airs, become disturbed. It's not so recommended for health-wise to be aware. I mean, Prabhupada was so transcendental, he could do it. But he never changed his schedule. Even he was flying all over the place, he'd still get up at the same time, 1 o'clock, translate Bhagavatam. So he was completely transcendental. But we're trying to become transcendental. Therefore, we have to take the sadhana bhakti. He was beyond the stage of sadhana bhakti. But sadhana bhakti needs to be regulated. Better to be regulated every day, day after day. So that your body becomes accustomed to that. Then it's no longer austerity. Then it becomes gradually joyfully performed. Then you look forward to the morning time. Your brain is fresh. You can hear a nice japa. You can do a nice service. Like write, I know myself, for writing letters and stuff. The best time for me is in the morning. After I chanted, you know, maybe 10 or 12 rounds, Mangalarti. Then I can sit at the computer and write some letters. And my brain is good order. If I try to write in the same letter at 8:30, 9 o'clock at night, my brain is not in the same
condition
or expertise. This is my personal experience. Morning is the best time. Body is fresh. So, we can, I mean, we do sometimes. We have to have a different schedule. What can we do? Marathon or something. Okay, any comments?
So even as long as time changes, you don't influence in Srila Prabhupada?
No, it's amazing. The servants will all be completely fractured and, you know, disturbed by it. He would just go on with a regular schedule. You can read a high-sized diary about that. I also saw it, but it's confirmed by Prabhupada's secretary and servants who travel with him. They would be completely disorientated or out of, good working order. Because of the time change. I find that, when I go to Poland, especially when I go that way, then it takes me a few days to become regular. I feel sleepy during the day. I wake up at 12 o'clock at night, I'm right awake, I can't sleep. But somehow Prabhupada was completely transcendental to that.
Last sequence in Purport was even if someone desire to give birth to the Supreme Lord, this is sense gratification. How we can understand this?
Purport gives a verse, Yama Jamini Jamini Ishvara. Because maybe the Lord doesn't want to be born. So you're making a demand of the Lord. Please, Lord, come and be my son. But pure devotee, he's ready to do whatever the Lord wants. He doesn't have any demand from his side. You should be my son.
Yeah.
His only demand is, please give me whatever service you want. And how do I know what you want? Well, that's why I'm going to always be open. I'm going to make myself have the right attitude so that as soon as you tell me what you want, then I can do it. Not that I'm attached to my own plan. That's the danger of being your own guru. Then you make your plan and you get attached to it. But if you follow the order of a guru or Krishna, then, what's the question of being attached? You're doing it because he wants you to do it. If he wants you to do something else, then you do that. There's not a big thing because you're only acting as a servant. You're not the plan maker, you're the plan follower. Then it's easy. Natural. But it's rare. Everybody's attached to their own plan. So why Prabhupada mentions in like devotion? But Krishna's not so much interested in what you've done, he's interested in what you're ready to do. What's your attitude? You have a service attitude. You present yourself, here I am, Krishna, ready to do whatever you want. You want me to go this way, that way, stay here, go do this, that, this service, that service. Whatever you say, Krishna, I can do. Then Krishna will see, oh, this person is sincere, so let me give him, you can say, the direction. Then we'll be able to clearly see, oh, this direction is coming from Krishna. And then we'll be confident. What we're doing is not something whimsical, not something just made out of our own mind, but this is authorized. Therefore, we'll be very powerful in our service. We'll be confident, convinced, 100% convinced. This is Krishna's plan. He's using me now. And to be used by Krishna is a very wonderful feeling, because the connection is very close. You can experience, oh, now I'm simply an instrument in Krishna's hands. And so because of that, my connection with Krishna is very close, intimate. And is very ecstatic. Very satisfying. Because Krishna is directly communicating with me. Okay, do this, go like this. Pesham Sarakayutam Bhagatam Pratipuram. The Dhani Guru, Krishna says, I will give you the intelligence. Like what? Why? Because you're serving me without any condition. But that's the advanced stage. Generally we have a condition. Okay, I'll serve you, Krishna, but you have to do this, you have to give me this, anyway. And that's why this Nami, he's not considered a pure devotee at this point, because he's demanding, I want a son. And what you're telling says, what does he say? You want anything except both of the both to be engaged in your service. This is what it means to be desireless. But then when it's clear what the Lord wants to do, then we can have desire to fulfill that. You can have strong desire. Like Prabhupada had strong desire to push on this movement. He had a very strong desire to develop the project in Juhu, Bombay. He had that desire because he knew that's what Krishna wanted. So we could not that we become without desire, but our desire is Krishna's desire. So then it's not our desire, therefore we say desireless. My bodies take that to mean that we stop desiring somehow, but desire is a symptom of life. Now we're desiring to fulfill Krishna's desire. That's also a desire. It's not my desire, but my desire is to fulfill Krishna's desire. Krishna wants that we spread this mission all over, so that's also my desire. But that desire is not like ordinary desire. Ordinary desire is for me. Everybody's desiring, oh, I want to get a good education, I want to have this plan, I want this, I want money, I want... Okay, Shri Bhagavatam ki.